You were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So many of you know, but some of you probably don't know, that I only work at St. John's part-time. And for some of the rest of my time, I do freelance web development and other programming. And in the last few years of doing this kind of freelance contracting work, I've learned a lesson that many contractors before me have learned very well. It's best for everyone involved if you're paid something like 50% up front and 50% on completion. You're laughing, so I can tell you understand. But of course, if you're paid 100% on completion, you spend the whole project working for free. And a pushy client can keep asking you for more and more and expanding the scope of work because they hold all the power. They haven't given you a dime, and they won't until they're satisfied. If you're paid all the cost up front, of course, there's not much of an incentive to do the job. And if you've ever worked with a contractor who disappeared once you finally paid them that second half, you understand that without that final check looming over them, the little punch list will never be complete. So 50-50 is the best of all worlds, or 50, 25, 25, whatever it is. People have known this, actually, for generations. There's a great little papyrus archaeologists found in Egypt in a trash heap of documents, legal documents, wills, receipts, and things, that has a letter 1,500 years old describing one such freelance operation. Regarding Lampone the mouse catcher, the author writes, I paid him 8 drachmae, as earnest money in order that he may catch the mice. More to follow, one presumes, once the mice are actually in the bag. But it's that very same word that's translated in this letter as earnest money, the 50% up front to Lampone the mouse catcher, that Paul uses to describe the gift of the Holy Spirit in this verse from Ephesians today, when it says it is the pledge of our inheritance. Earnest money, pledge, down payment, it all means the same thing. The Holy Spirit that we experience in this life is, Paul writes, God's down payment, God's 50% up front toward the promise of our redemption. It's part of this bigger pattern in Christian life that you sometimes hear called now and not yet. You have already, Paul writes, heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed. You have already been marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. But of course, it's a promised Holy Spirit. You have already received a pledge, earnest money, as an advance on the riches of your inheritance. But God's work in you is not yet complete. You do not yet know, we do not yet know, the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, as Paul says. I imagine that this now and not yet makes some intuitive sense to you. You know that we get some of what God has promised already, but not all of it. Our spiritual lives aren't just paid entirely on completion, as if life in this world was all misery and suffering and pain, and we finally escaped to something good after we had died. We already now experience the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit and of one another in our lives. But we also know that things aren't perfect yet. We know that the golden evening that our first hymn talks about, the glorious day, the gates of pearl, are describing some reality that is not yet fully real for us in this room together. God has promised us something better, something different, and the promise has not yet been fulfilled. We're still waiting for that final check. But of course, that's where the analogy breaks down. If we're spiritual freelancers, that initial gift of the Holy Spirit is a mark of God's earnestness about the project, but it's also an incentive for us to work. And maybe if we just keep working and working and working and becoming more and more saintly and holy and good over time, if we can just finish our projects of self-improvement, then maybe one day God will reward us with that final check. And you may actually have been raised to believe something like this in this church or another one. But if you notice, that's not what Paul says at all. You are not the hardworking contractor in the story. It's God who is at work in you. I pray, he writes, that God may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know three things: the hope to which he has called you, and the riches of your inheritance, and the greatness of his power. The Holy Spirit that God is giving us is not a spirit of anxiety or fear. It's not even a spirit of inspiration so that we might do great things like the saints of old for God. It's a spirit of comfort and reassurance, not about our work, but about God's work in us. God wants to enlighten our hearts so that we can see, so that we can really feel the reality of that promise, so that we can really know that the thing we hope for is real, and that it's more beautiful than we can imagine, and that God is more than strong enough to bring us there. And you'll notice that the word Paul uses is not a wage or a salary. It's an inheritance. It's not a reward that we earn by working hard enough and being good enough. It's the gift that God has chosen to give us for who we are. I think this now and not yet is part of what Jesus means when he says these famous but cryptic words: blessed are you who are poor, blessed are you who are hungry, blessed are you who weep now. There's so much in these Beatitudes, but I think at least part of it is that. It's not that you are blessed because you are poor or hungry or weeping when you are poor or hungry or weeping. It's that even though the kingdom of God is not yet yours, even though you have not yet been filled, even though you are not yet laughing all the time, amidst all the pain and suffering of the world, you are blessed by God, and you will receive the inheritance that is yours. On this All Saints Sunday, we remember, as we always do, all the people whom we have loved and who have died. And the Holy Spirit's work of reassurance and comfort is more important on this day than on most others. There is a sense in which those we love who have gone before us are experiencing the fullness of something we've only ever gotten a taste of. Every moment of joy or peace or prayer we feel is just a glimpse of what's been promised to us, of the eternal life they already live. That doesn't mean that we can't be sad or grieve. It doesn't mean that we won't miss them many days for the rest of our lives. But the reassurance that the Holy Spirit tries to offer on this day is the sometimes unbelievable promise that they live now in the world we all wish we could one day inhabit, a world of peace and rest. And it's the promise that the rest of our inheritance is coming, that that will one day be our home as well, and we will live with them as they now live with God. It's a hard promise to feel. It's why God needs to give us a spirit to enlighten our hearts so that we may really feel it. And so I pray, like Paul prays for the Ephesians, that God may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us and for us. Amen.